Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Day before Thanksgiving here at the Chuck and Julie Show. True Straight Up, Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, brought to you by
ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice site. I check every day. Also, Dr. Julie McCallan at Synergenics. And I'm happy to say a new sponsor we have today. I got my hair cut. And let me give you another. I've been going to this lady for years, and she's amazing. I actually started going to her when I worked at TV stations. I mean, if you see somebody's haircut on TV, they probably have it cut by her. Her name is Gina Martinez. She used to be the owner of Blondie's, but now she's off on her own. So it's Gina Martinez, and I'm going to give you the number, 303-377-5313, 303-377-5313. If you didn't get that, text me or send me a message on Facebook or someplace, and I'll get the phone number to you. But she's amazing. I just go there and I say, fix me. And in anything that you see that you don't like, that's my attempt at my hair, not Gina's attempt. Well, even Chuck says.
No, I can tell you when sometimes, because of scheduling and other things, Julie doesn't get her hair cut by Gina. I can tell the difference. I mean, it looks. She looks great.
I can tell you this, Gina Martinez. When I get my hair cut by her, I get strangers come up and compliment me on my haircut. So she's great. Let me know if you want to get hold of her. But 303-377-5313. Holy cow, a ton to talk about today. We're hoping to get Congressman Tom Tancredo. Okay, they're trying him right now. Coming into the show, news is breaking, right?
Everywhere.
And news is breaking everywhere. We've got one of the things we're going to have to talk about, in a way, I'm thankful for Mayor Hancock being such an idiot because
I hope you're all obeying the mandates from Dr. Fauci and your betters, including the mayor of Denver, as he gave a special announcement out, which we'll play about the key to avoiding travel during this time, just to make us all safe. You wouldn't want to.
You wouldn't want to have travel.
No.
And I don't get this. What are these states that are? We talked about this the other day. Closing bars and liquor stores. I guess are they? This it reminds me of something kind of funny. Before we get to the Hancock thing, my brother called me today. My brother, he's Barney. My brother is Barney. Okay, Barney is my brother. Just faking us
not
out.
Not really, but.
Not really. But they're twins, I think. He called me to say he was reading a Butterball. Butterball had tweeted out that if you're going to be deep frying a turkey, you know, when you stick it in the vat of boiling oil, that you should avoid alcohol, that 93% of the accidents involving turkeys and boiling oil also invite alcohol.
I can believe that. And the other 7% are marijuana or
other
drugs.
7% are some kind of hallucinogenics. So, but Mayor Hancock, if you haven't heard the news.
And it's all over. It's on Fox. It's the leading
national
story.
National news. Yeah. Having 30 minutes after tweeting out, don't travel, got on a plane to fly to meet his family for a holiday
vacation.
Do
you have that one?
We'll play it later because we got Tom here now.
Well, so. I want to play it for Tom to listen to.
Okay. Hey, Tom, let's bring him up. Hey, Tom, first of all, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and to you guys too, which is, by the way, one reason why I don't get near making turkeys in any capacity, anything. Doesn't matter. Don't touch it. No, it's dangerous. Too dangerous.
So have you limited your Thanksgiving to only people you live with? Otherwise, meeting people by
Zoom.
And
no alcohol.
And
no alcohol.
Obeying all the rules.
And the only way you can come in is if you wear a Trump face mask.
There you go. Well, we're going to play for you, Tom. This is Mayor Hancock, Denver Mayor Michael Hancock, last week telling all of us that we cannot fly. We must obey the rules. We're going to have blood on our hands. Hey, so Thomas at BBS, if you could go ahead and play the Mayor Hancock soundbite, please.
Thanksgiving is now less than a week away. And I've told you all the last time we got together about the gathering of 50 family members and close friends at the Hancock household, and how it's going to look different this year. We're going to be doing a Zoom so that we can at least see each other on Thanksgiving. So please, I urge everyone, maybe get a small turkey this year and celebrate with just those you live with. And after the meal, as we're going to do, Zoom with your extended family, all your friends, everyone that you meet, and tell them that you look forward to seeing them real soon. And that maybe next year we can all be together again. I know this is hard.
I know
you hate this. I hate this. But we are doing our best to avoid a complete shutdown of our economy.
So, Tom, that right before he got on the plane.
Well, that was last week. Creed came out just half an hour before he got on the plane telling everybody, take any travel. He told all of his staff that, and anyone who was employed in the city, if you traveled, you'd be required to take time off.
You'd have to quarantine yourself outside of the city for 14 days, and you had to use up your vacation time to do so. So I said, he's not just a hypocrite, he's a Scrooge.
Oh, my God.
What do you make of that?
Well, it's just so typical. And what gets me is that you can hear these things, you can see these things, they are as blatant as could possibly be. This is not just somebody, sour grape mayor candidate or something condemning him for it and alleging these things. They're all absolutely provable true. You just ran it. It is undeniable that he is a darn hypocrite. And yet, will it matter in the total scheme of things? This is what drives me nuts about all of this stuff. We see it every day. We see the corruption every single day. It slaps us in the face. And yet, we have slid as a society so easily and so quickly into serfdom. It is absolutely astounding to me. And it's perhaps the most annoying thing about this whole COVID BS is that we are taking it. And that drives me nuts.
Well, because this is one of the reasons there's like 800 things we could talk to you about. But I know, for instance, because I wanted to get your take on this. So in Douglas County and in other counties, too, and in Castle Rock, there have been some restaurants that say we're going to open. The city council in Castle Rock said we're not going to enforce this draconian, bureaucracy that's going to close all of our restaurants. And then the Tri-County Health Department, a bunch of unelected bureaucrats that will take away their licenses. Yeah. To me, so you have bureaucrats overruling elected officials. And I mean, you were there. You were helping make laws. What do we do about this?
Well, yes, I was there. I went to one of those restaurants. About a week ago, I guess. But it was after, let's see, maybe not quite that long because it was after this dictate had come out from the dictator. And it was like the next day. And this guy, and I don't want to give his name because frankly, even today. I don't want to say anything because God only knows how many, citizen Gestapo agents might be listening to this. So, but I was there the other night on Monday night. Randy Corcoran and I both went to this little restaurant down in Parker for the same reason that I had gone to the original one, and that is to say, hey, we're with you, man. This is great.
Right.
Stay the course. While we were there, while we were having dinner, and we're talking to the owner of this place, the guy comes in with the papers to close him down. And says to him, look, I have to do this. I'm going to tell you right now, put these papers up on the front door, take a picture of it, and I don't give a damn if you take it down because I think this is all BS myself.
Wow.
But he then goes to three other restaurants in town. And while we were there still complaining and listening to the owner go on and on about this, the other owners started kind of filing in, the other owners of the restaurants that are getting this order from Tri-County Health, saying stop, cease, desist, you close your doors. And so it is true then, last night there was a, and believe me, it was just I so admire these people. God bless them. You know, it's one thing. Even today, we went today to another restaurant that is still open, but it is knows that the at any
only
second,
till they catch them,
the shoe will drop. And when we left, the owner was saying, "I'm so, you know, thank you so much for your support." And I said, "Thank me? What? I come and buy lunch. I have no skin in this game. You have skin in the game. You are risking, you know, your livelihood here. And God bless you." And
right.
When we were talking to the fellow that went that night in Parker the other night, he's telling us, look at all my employees.
Yeah.
These guys and girls they live paycheck to paycheck. This is right before Thanksgiving.
Right.
How dare they? Now, you know, nothing else got closed, just bars and restaurants.
Right.
You can still go to King Supers. You can still go all these places. And, oh, my God, while you were running the thing about the mayor, him warning us, I'm driving down to this restaurant today and for lunch. And on C-470, they've posted, you know, the
yeah, the highway signs.
That they have.
Right.
The highway signs. Have you seen this?
No.
Careful. Be careful traveling. Don't travel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You are
it's
in
like,
a high. You're in a high.
You're on the freaking interstate already. It's like, I guess I should, you know, do a U-turn.
Slow down until Governor Polis passes me.
Tom, here's the thing, because it's yeah, really.
Right. That Polis in the car ahead of me?
on their way to the airport. Well, you know, here's the thing. Polis is, we don't even go into what I think of this, but I mean, so. He was quick to criticize restaurants and say, oh, they're killing people, right? You've got blood on your hands, blah, blah, blah. And of course, he doesn't say anything about Hancock. But what can we do? Because it seems to me when you've got city councils, I know they could, the health department can threaten their license or something.
That's a state license.
It's a
they
state
will.
License.
Here's
I
what,
mean,
yeah, they're stuck in a way because God bless the city council of Castle Rock last night.
Right.
Did what you said. They said we won't enforce this. Well, the reality is, they've got it's a nice statement, sort of a beau geste, to tell you the truth, because the order comes from the Tri-County. Tri-County is if they choose to ignore this order, then the next step is, of course, you go to a judge. You get an order, you get a contempt of court, right, and then you get your license pulled, all kinds of crap can happen to you that the city of Castle Rock has absolutely no way of mediating.
The state.
There's no mitigation.
State, you know, your liquor license is dependent upon the local jurisdiction in the state. Either can close you down, so even Castle Rock couldn't close you down. You know, the clowns at whatever state bureaucracy will have your license also. But it really is interesting because what can you do? And I know we've had this debate before, but people don't realize, and it's the smartest thing Democrats ever did, how they convinced you that after they rigged the elections of 2018 and they started before, and it's absolutely rigged. Even if it's not rigged, what you can do legally with mail-in ballots is just go to projects and sane asylums. You can go wherever you want and get thousands and thousands of votes without even the people knowing what they're voting for.
Yeah.
So the election is not by people choosing. It's whoever has the organization. Now they also cheat in Denver. One of the things that Denver would do is that if they threw out a ballot and they stopped throwing them out, you could cure it live that day. All the Republican counties in the state didn't do that. So it's an equal protection claim, but you don't have a democracy anymore. And all they did was take the Colorado system, which they got us all to kind of
Colorado
go, the demographics have changed. Yeah, that's it. It's all these Californians who moved in. BS. Yes, slight demographic changes of 1 or 2%, but not a 10% change or 15% change. And they just took it national. Colorado has been, as Julie calls it, a petri dish. They saw how they stole the elections in Colorado without a peep. And because you have people.
But there are some peeps.
Well,
Patrick Bella peeped.
Yeah, well, people like John Southers, who's
Tom Can Cradle, peep.
Yeah, John Southers is a disgusting human being, really a revolting person. He just also said that the problem in Colorado Springs are people who are traveling and not leaving their homes here and causing cases in Colorado Springs. So, you know, when you have a Republican Party that is composed of John Southers, you don't have a Republican Party. It's different.
No, the Republican Party, look. But I would still tell you that I think that the Democrat Party is no better in terms of its ability to actually do anything. There are all these legal constraints that were passed by the plague of women voters that restrict the ability of the state parties to do almost anything. But yes, what the Democrats have and have had and had when they started this process, a decade or more ago, what they had then was a shadow party.
Yes.
They had people committed with hundreds of millions of dollars, to changing the state of Colorado's political demography, if you will.
Political demography has changed. Right. And there's no...
Totally. But we have no such shadow party. We've got nobody on our side with the commitment. Maybe we've got a few people with the money, but nobody with the commitment to do what they did. Now, admittedly, their commitment was based on their sexual preferences. And so you've got, that's a pretty strong a very powerful force when you've got your sexual preference and your political preference together and hundreds of millions of dollars behind it. We just have nothing like it. And we don't have anything like it anywhere, nowhere in the country. No. And so there's the real rub. It's not just the party itself. It's the fact that there aren't there's nobody out there that can be the shadow Republican Party.
And this is what Chuck always says.
Well, I can tell you who could do it. I mean,
I could too.
It's Paul Singer. Paul Singer has a house in Red Mountain. He's moving from New York down to Florida because he doesn't like the taxes in New York. But Paul Singer, and we have that, I forget which the group that comes on with his niece in it.
That's Paul Singer's niece.
Yeah, Paul Singer's niece. But
Colorado Rising Action and places like that.
Yeah, right. Or Americans for Prosperity.
They're the Koch brothers who now are Democrats.
Let me finish this.
Okay.
He spent millions of dollars in the state, including funding those ads against you in Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
He's the one who helped put all that money in, and also the Ricketts in Nebraska and everything else. There are no conservative Republican billionaires anymore. They're very, maybe Adelson in Nevada, and that's basically, so you can get more gambling going. What you had for a while was you had some great grassroots funding ability, which you hoped would take you to the governorship, and you found out that those things kind of wash up after a while.
They do, unfortunately. You're absolutely right in all accounts. And if your toe is in the water and you've made a name for yourself, people kind of know you and that sort of thing. We were hoping that would carry us through, even recognizing we never got money from any of those people. Right. We never got money from any big contributor. I was always so proud to have the highest percentage of low donors, small donors, of anybody running for statewide office. But it was great. I loved it. It was okay. And it could get us through. But I'm afraid, those days are sort of over with.
Well, I'm not sure
they were for me,
but they'd have to be
for somebody else.
Well, you'd have to find another person to head the Colorado Party in Colorado. And, the only one of the few encouraging things that came out of the last day, Lauren Bobert, who I see in a lot of ways a successor to you.
Oh, I do, too. I love her. I absolutely love her. God. We had lunch before she ran. It was, 6 months or something before she ran. And we're sitting there having lunch, and I'm thinking to myself, gosh, she's a sweetheart and, really good looking too. But anyway, she's got and such a pistol. And finally I said to her, how are you on guns?
How are you doing? Good.
You have enough?
Yeah, how many you got?
She goes, I'm the one that have that restaurant. And, of course, then I remember, yeah, oh, my God, she's the lady with that restaurant. Open rifle.
Well, let me ask you this other question.
I really wanted to get your thoughts on this. So I said, fine.
Vern comes from Rifle, Colorado, as you just mentioned, at Shooter's Grill there. Russ George was one of the guys who, when I was lobbying down the legislature, I really admired and liked. He's a very bright guy, Harvard Law and all that, but from Rifle. And he used to come over and drink and all that. And we used to have great times. And when it came out, he endorsed the Democratic. Uh-huh. He was Speaker of the House in Colorado.
He endorsed Republican.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure it out in my own mind because I really liked Russ.
Did they give him Kool-Aid or something?
I guess when it really comes down to it, people like Russ, and it's the same with Cory Gardner, they come from a rural town or area. They can't get elected as Democrats. So they run as Republicans. I mean, Ed Thomas is the opposite thing. I mean, he was a city councilman in Denver, and he's totally a Republican, but he couldn't run as a Republican. Yeah. So he ran as a Democrat, and then when he got out of office, he changed his registration back. But, you know, because if you actually believe in Republican principles at all, you know, you don't want another far left House member, but he did. And I have to think, well, it's because he's really a Democrat. I mean, you knew Russ. You had to know Russ.
Yeah, I did. And you know, nice enough guy, but he was always a squish. Yeah. Always.
Well, a squish, but, you know, when you're endorsing against the person who's from your hometown, that you live there.
Right.
And she, Bush was a far lefty. I mean, she wasn't kind of a nice, moderate Democrat. She was about as far left as Lauren was far right, though far right is wonderful in my approximation. And I'm trying to understand in my own mind, because I really liked the guy. And I said, well, that's because he was always a Democrat. And that's same with Cole Wist when he came out in favor of it. A lot of these people just are really Democrats, but for whatever reason, they don't feel they can run or they wouldn't win because the Democratic Party is so far left. So they come to the Republican Party and, you know, nothing really matters.
You know, when you say that, you have to think to yourself something. It comes to my mind every time I hear somebody say to me, I just don't understand this. Yeah, I don't understand this particular action by this particular person or group of people. And it was certainly my experience in Congress. Every time I'd say that, I found out that there's that oldest adage in the world, and it's the truest, and that is follow the money.
But look at Russ George, nobody's going to pay him. Nobody's going to pay Russ George, and Russ George didn't need their money. So he didn't do it because they gave him $100 or $10,000. This endorsement isn't worth much because he hadn't been in politics for 20 years. So if you're hoping to get buying Russ George off, you wouldn't buy him off.
Well, maybe you're right. I don't know him. I don't know his background. I know him very well, but I don't know his financial background or anything else. But I was just noticing today that they found out that the governor of California and the governor of Georgia, apparently both of them, did $500 million deals with China for COVID-related products, including masks. $500 million that, by the way, they never got the masks, or very few. And then they found out that the money went back into like family members of these two governors and that sort of thing.
No, you're absolutely right, Tom. It's all the money. Here, let me do this. We've got a phone call.
And
it's
I don't
Barney's.
Know about Russ, but I'm telling you, most of the time,
Russ is a great guy. He's a Democrat. I'll take your word for that. That's where I came to my conclusion that he had to run. You know, Cory Gardner is not a Republican.
Let's go to the phones.
Let's not go to the phones.
That's right.
I can scream as loud as Barney.
Russ George anymore.
Well, I do.
Okay. Hey, Barney, you're on with Chuck and Julie and Tom Tancredo. Happy Thanksgiving, Barney.
Hello. Happy Thanksgiving, Chuck and Julie, and Tom, you too. And Tom, you don't have to worry about this call because I love you. Julie, you realize after what you said, people are going to walk up to you and they're going to be like, he's your brother? This guy? Julie.
I had to try to correct
and
that.
And by the way, Chuck, if you ever need me to call anybody an a-hole, you let me know and I'll call him.
I've got a list.
I've got a list. Okay, yeah, you just let me have it and I'll go at it.
Southern,
and
then, call Southern.
Southern, you're a freaking butt clown, a-hole. And, you know, Randy, I know he doesn't like us talking about our precious Republicans, but, you know, like in Georgia, it's over with. I don't think the Republicans, maybe they will, maybe they'll come out, but you know what? I do want, and Tom, your comment is it's not really a shadow party. Hey, don't go anywhere. Damn it.
Okay.
Hey. Okay. Tom?
We can hear you. You were dropping out there for a second.
Hello. Tom, I remember a little story you told us about getting on the elevator with the little jerk-off ass clown McCain, the nasty, dirty little man that he is. So, and look at these Republicans, you know what? You're not, I want crystal dry. We know Democrats have always been left. Republicans and their crap. If I still believe if we'd have had the rock solid, you know, guys like me, we're done with the Cory Gardners, and I'm not the only one out here. I know it just pains Randy to know that there's conservatives out there that are not going to vote for the Republicans. We're just not. And you just see what's going on with Trump right now. You know what? You guys are the ones that got the screwed up party. Yes, we don't have the billionaires, but it does come down to the vote. We do know that. It's pretty clear.
Well, it comes down to who counts the votes.
Yeah.
As Stalin said.
Okay, all right, you're right. You're right. You are absolutely correct.
I still refuse to leave. People have power. If you don't believe that, what do you do? So,
Well, I know, but I do. You know, and Tom, it is nice to hear your voice. I've always loved you. I disagree with you sometimes, and you're too damn nice. Somebody needs to slap you upside the head, make you a little mean, but you're just too nice of a guy.
It does.
Oh, I can imagine your wife probably has, but I do love you, Tom. There you go. I hope she does. I hope she uses a frying pan. By the way, Julie, after when you were talking about PA yesterday, don't get any ideas. Don't hit Chuck with the. But I do. I've learned one thing with women. Never get between a woman and a bottle of wine. Let her get her bottle of wine. And then, when the bottle of wine is almost done.
Those are wise words.
And when the wine is almost gone, get the hell out of there because it's going to get ugly. It just is. So, but anyway, I'm listening to you guys. Chuck, anybody you want me to, you just lay it on me, buddy, because I guarantee you.
The nice thing about you, Chuck, is.
Whoever you think is an a-hole, I think is an a-hole, too. I just about said it. Not going to be able to argue that.
Count on
Love
you,
Barney. Guys. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Barney.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
You know, Tom, just a few more questions from me. I know you got to love Barney. Let me ask you this. I mean, your take on, you know, let me back up. So I was getting my hair cut, and my haircut another person there who was astonished that we were even like having a serious discussion about the, you know, that the election is being challenged. They're like, well, it's over, isn't it? And I'm like, good grief, I hope not. What do you think about all of that? And where do you see it going? If you do?
Well, God, I wish I can tell you how much I pray for a certain outcome. I just believe that people like Lynn Wood, and what's her name?
Sidney Powell.
You know, yeah. I just believe they have to have something. I don't know them personally, but I mean, everything I've ever read about them, everything I've ever seen about them, tells you they are good people, smart people who are not going to get left out on a limb. And so I rely on that. I do.
We've had Sidney Powell on the Chuck and Julie show various times. Right now,
I remember. Yeah.
And
maybe that's why I like her so much.
I agree with you. I'm just hoping, sometimes beyond reason, she's got some real things. And, you know, I don't question for a second that the election was stolen.
I do not either.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's
what drives me. It's just going back to this thing about how it can be in your face, in everybody's face. And half of the people maybe in this country could not be convinced, no matter what you say, they could not be convinced that the election was stolen, that Biden is a crooked, a corrupt, somebody who is, you know, only a few steps away from total dementia. None of this could be, they would not believe it no matter what you said. And that's okay.
It's the other half that worries me. It's the Paul Ryans. Oh, he needs to concede, and the Laura Ingrams and all the rest of it. If the rest of the country, if half the country continues to kind of go, no, you're a senile, old, corrupt guy. But let's take one more call. Let's take Kenny Banamir from Sugar City, my favorite little city.
Hey
Kenny.
Julie.
Hey,
well, I hear Barney call in. I cannot let him have the last word. No, I love Barney. I think God's calling him to the pulpit. We need a guy like that with some conviction to spread the word. But I just wanted to share real quick. I don't know if you guys are aware or had a chance to review the hearings that they've conducted just a little bit ago in
Pennsylvania. Out of Pennsylvania. Go ahead.
I tell you, if you can't see the hand of God, Barney, in that deal, that you can't see. I mean, that is God moving amongst us in conviction amongst state senators in the midst of terrible evil, and that is probably the dam breaking, in my opinion. That is.
Oh, God, I hope you're right, Kenny.
If Pennsylvania breaks. And what I saw there is not just one senator. There's not two senators. There's a panel of convicted senators that are ready to overturn the election of that state for widespread corruption. And I tell you, it's an amazing thing to watch.
Well, the Pennsylvania Senate is composed. It's even Republicans and one more Democrat, although the Democrat was thrown off for corruption in Philadelphia, the judge ordered the Republican to win, so they hold the Republican Senate there by one vote. Now, there's always a Mitt Romney in every legislature, so
they'll probably get away. But
I'm encouraged that you were very impressed by the hearing.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thank you, Kenny.
I'm curious, have you had a chance to review it yet, Chuck, or have you not?
No.
I watched parts of it, you know, segments of it. There was one part where they showed that, you know, there was 6 million, I think, votes, you know, 600,000 votes for Biden that came
in. Like 5,000 for Trump.
Yeah, 3,200.
Something ridiculous.
So,
that's everything I've been reading, Kenny, it was sort of going along with that this was, it was not this, you know, dog and pony show without any proof, that it was solid. And I read the same thing that you said, that the senators were like, whoa, we did not realize that. So, hey, listen,
but
we're going to let you
go. It's the testimony of the people. It's not hearsay. It's people that ground zero being denied access to do their job. I mean, it was just one affidavit after another. And I don't know how anyone can just take those testimonies and say they're irrelevant. I mean, that's the exciting thing, is we finally got a platform.
Yes.
I mean, this is the first gasp of air that we've had to present our case. And it may break the dams. Let's just pray that that's the direction we're going.
I was encouraged.
Thank you very much, Kenny. We're going to let you go. Happy Thanksgiving to you guys and all the folks down there in
Sugar City. Happy Thanksgiving. I was encouraged by that judge in Philadelphia in Pennsylvania that actually said, no, you can't certify. That was amazing.
And then I think a judge in Nevada ordered a hearing similar to the one going on in Pennsylvania for November or December 3rd. So stuff is happening. So, okay, well, Tom, we'll just wrap it up here. Give you the open mic here. Any just final thoughts or anything you want to?
Yeah. Look, thank you. You know, honestly, it's so good to hear you guys. Honestly, it's good to hear your voice. Good to hear you out there. Let me say this, that, you know, these little things that happen, like these wonderful, courageous restaurateurs that are trying to battle for themselves and their employees and for freedom that we should be giving them in this country to actually pursue their goal in life and have a business that, you know, employs people, pays taxes, and does good things. This, when I see these people, it just gives me so much hope. I don't know how far they're going to take it. I do not know if they'll ever, you know, if they'll go to the point of saying, okay, you know, close me down, get the sheriff out here. Actually, they'd have to get the state to patrol with them because the sheriff said he wouldn't. He would not enforce it. So I don't know who they'd get to enforce the state order. I guess it'd be a state patrolman or something. But I don't know if they'll get to that point. But I keep thinking to myself of this. We do not know. They don't know what the outcome is of their stance, right? They don't know if it could
possibly
be. They're
very brave people. Yeah.
They are. And it reminds me, you guys, I think of this a lot. When the Patriots went to Lexington and Concord, okay, they had no idea how that would play out. All they knew is that they were up against the most powerful country in the world, right? And they were a bunch of farmers with muskets who said, no, this is it. I'm not going to go any farther. And look how it did play out. Who would have thought it? Who would have imagined in a million years that a few people standing up for principle could actually be the beginning of the catalyst of a revolutionary war that would be successful in creating the greatest country on the face of the planet? Who could have imagined that? Yeah. So therefore,
but it took people who were willing to die and to kill. It took people willing to die and to kill. And I think more and more we're realizing that we may not have a republic anymore, and unless and until the time comes that we have the Patriots similar to Lexington and Concord are willing to die and willing to kill. Democracy in this country. We just elect an illegitimate, senile, corrupt. You think we have a democracy anymore?
Though, I agree with Tom that when you stand on principle, that's all you can do, right? And you can just stand again, and not all you can do, but again and again and again. And
And of course, the hope is that when people see these people, you know, when other restaurateurs see these folks doing what they're doing, that they will too, and then more and more. And if 10,000 restaurants in Colorado said, no, we're not going to succumb to this, and they could not stop it. It is it's just like as if 10,000 people went downtown Denver without masks and made a protest against masks, what would they do? How could they arrest everybody? They couldn't. And so it's the same thing here. It is somebody showing the courage to do something that maybe somebody else will follow. I don't know if this will be the case. I don't know if this will be the break in the dam. But all I'm telling you is the resistance does exist. It exists in the hearts and minds of a lot of people. And it just takes leadership. That's what it boils down to. Who will lead the fight? Who will lead the people to Lexington and Concord? You need somebody. And you know, I don't know who that somebody is, but I pray to God that they emerge, and they emerge soon.
Well, we'll follow you.
Well, I'll be happy to lead. I just don't know. Yeah, it'll be me, you, and a couple of other people.
There we go. Hey, sir, those are great comments. Thank you so much for your time.
Tom.
It's great to talk to you.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys, and have a great Merry Christmas, too.
All right, you guys. All right, thank you there very much.
All right, we got some comments in. Go ahead and read them.
Okay,
Julie.
So this is from Mark. He said, this morning I went for a walk around my development, not wearing a mask. Four of my neighbors in separate houses came out yelling at me to put on a mask. After showing them a certain finger, I told them to dial 911, and I kept walking. Is anyone going to fight back at all? Well, exactly. I mean, I don't wear a mask when I'm outside, and I take it off as soon as, you know, this is from Sandra points out that Cole Wisk came from Peonia. Peonia is rural Colorado. Let me say this. Mark agrees with Chuck 100%. Ben is telling us release the Kraken.
Yeah. Which apparently is a Department of Defense program.
But I want to go back to
Julie. Oh. Don't throw that away. It was revealed by Sidney Powell. That's a real program they had in the Defense Department.
That's why she uses the word Kraken.
Yeah, release.
Yeah,
Kraken.
You know. So to back up, talk about a lot of things. Tom Tancredo is absolutely right, because here's what we need to remember, guys. And, even without leadership. So why are we listening? Well, and the good news is I don't think anyone is listening to Michael Hancock when he says don't travel. I mean, I saw a thing comparing the air travel and the number of flights in the sky, shall we say, like yesterday at like noon from 2007, 2018, 2019 and 2020 and pretty similar. So people are traveling. People are not buying the government BS. And every time you see somebody like Mayor Hancock be so hypocritical, it just fuels people and it makes them angry.
But it's a different type of hypocrisy, I have to say, than the normal hypocrisy. Oh. The normal hypocrisy is that you have one set of rules for other people, you have another set of rules for yourself. But here, even the basis of your other set of rules, which is that you're endangering yourself very much, and you're endangering your family very much, and your friends, and everyone else, you know, he doesn't believe that at all.
No, not at all. And all of these dumb people who keep, not they're dumb, they're just liars, when they tell us, oh, you're killing people if you go do this, and then they do it, you can just tell they don't believe it. They know that what they're telling us is a bunch of nonsense.
They know it's just an average flu. That's, you know, if you got comorbidities, you know. Don't get the flu if you get comorbidities, but...
And here's, you know, and this is from Leo. Once all the millennials realize the hit bars and restaurants near the Rhino Lofts are closed forever, will they vote differently? No, hopefully they'll just quit voting. And Sandra, thank you,
Doesn't matter they quit voting. They'll vote for them.
Peonia's on the western slope between Crested Butte and Delta. But here's the thing, though. Again, think of this. The gall of Mayor Hancock to send out an email to city staff and say that if you travel, you're going to have to quarantine for 14 days. You're going to have to use up your vacation days. And to then get on a plane. And you got to keep in mind, that's happening everywhere. You see this in case after, I mean, you know, until he was shamed, Cuomo was doing it. Newsom is doing it. They're all doing it. None of them believe their own lies. They don't even pretend to believe their own lies. No. So I'm with Tom Tancredo. I mean, if there's, and just, you know, everybody let us know and we'll try to be like the little speakeasy center if you want and let people know where there are places open, because I think he's right. If everybody stays open and Mark, like you, if everybody stops wearing their mask, then it's going to be pretty hard. Like Tom says, are they going to round up all of the restaurants? Are they going to close all of the restaurants in Colorado? And they are counting on us to be polite. They're counting on us to say, oh, we don't want to cause trouble. And they're counting on us to be afraid, not of COVID, but being afraid of being closed down and being afraid of them. And I think the only way, short of war, to do that is you start at the very least by just saying, no, I'm not going to do it.
Well, you know, there are some times where massive civil disobedience can result in change. And so I guess that's one step short of violence, although there was always a hint of violence in the nonviolent coordinating committee and the rest of them. But maybe that's a possibility. But, you know, Julie, we went down to Civic Center Park to protest our rights and so forth. And the police sicked on Antifa against us, or at least let Antifa.
Stood there. Well, I got punched.
You got
punched.
And
other people got hurt.
And people got hit with skateboards, and they did absolutely nothing. So, you know, you could, you know, but I guess I guess people got off freedom buses and got attacked and beat up and everything else. But the difference between then and now is that they had a media who covered it and cared.
Right.
You know, when we went down, along with lots of other patriotic people, it was said opposing sides clash. There was no clash of opposing sides. It was one side attacking
the other.
The other side.
Well, it's like Kenny was saying, did you watch the hearings in Pennsylvania? And if you don't know what we're talking about is Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis and those guys had a hearing in front of some Republican state legislators in Pennsylvania to present their evidence. I think the first time they've really unveiled it all like that. And the only network that covered it was the one of the OANN network, right? Which, by the way, YouTube now won't, they're banned from YouTube. I think, though, part of that, and this is what I tell Chuck, where I'm somewhat hopeful, is that the mainstream media has gone so whack job. They become so biased. There's so much censorship going on that some of these alternate forms, for instance, we're on Parler now at Chuck and Julie. We're on Rumble, the Chuck and Julie show, not just YouTube. So I think that some of these alternate media forms and media platforms are getting more attention and more publicity.
I think it's
going to be harder and harder to shut us up.
Well, that's why I hope Trump really starts it. I mean, what is the purpose of Fox News? You know, you would normally think the purpose of Fox News is to make money by presenting a network which allows conservative thought. That lots of people
that was a plan
views.
Originally.
I'm not sure what was the plan. when Murdoch started it. But it is not today to make money. All the Murdochs, including the sons and the daughters-in-law, Catherine Murdoch, James Murdoch, and so have tens. They have more money they can possibly spend for the rest of their life. So they don't care. Yeah. I mean, they don't care about ratings. They don't really care. Just like CNN. No. CNN watches.
Well, they care about their globalist platforms.
Wait a minute. Let me get finished with this.
Okay.
The purpose of Fox today, the corporate purpose of Paul Ryan and the other people in the one, is to take the Fox viewers and turn them from Trumpian kind of right wing into nice Mitt Romney
robots.
McCain. No, not robots, but
the board.
Yeah, well, that they see things through a very, you know, bland exterior and so on. That's the purpose of Fox. Fox is out there not to attract you to watch, but to get you to change your political views.
Right, right. No, and I think, and this is from Ben, Newsmax apparently also carried part of it. Newsmax I watch now. No, I think, and they are trying to change their views, but I think it's not going to work. I think what you've got right now, and I was even reading in some of the following of the Pennsylvania thing, oh, which, by the way, let me just throw a fact out. So they're all freaking out about Paul. I guess I could say this were a podcast. So Pam Geller was tweeting about Paul Ryan saying something, and she's like, Paul Ryan's a douchebag and has been ever since
Trump. Surely, we're thrown off the podcast world.
But they're saying, oh, Trump should do this, and they were freaking out about the Pennsylvania judge. Well, guess what? So the Pennsylvania judge said they can't certify the election until after hearing on Friday. Well, just for the record, in 2016, the last presidential race, they didn't certify the election until December 12th. So why is everyone freaking out about
it? Because they want to get it over with.
They
don't want anybody looking at it.
They don't want any evidence. Exactly. And I think that there is more coming out. I was watching Sidney Powell had not yet filed. Lynn Wood said she was going to file her case today in Georgia. I think there are two separate tracks, but I think we'll see. You know, I mean, it is difficult when you have the mainstream media, but what do you do when you essentially have when you've got tens of millions of Americans who just don't buy that Joe Biden was legitimately elected? I saw a thing in polls being what they are, but like only 3% of Trump supporter of Republicans thought that the election was fair. I mean, so what do you do?
No, they don't care. I mean, they were willing to believe and got everybody else to believe that the Trump election was crooked and that Russia.
Right. But now
that had zero validity to it. Zero.
I don't think you're going to switch Trump supporters' minds, because now what they're doing, it goes back to what Tom Tancredo was talking about. Now they're keeping our kids out of school.
Yep.
They're closing our businesses. Now it's not some theoretical discussion going on between a bunch of boring politicians. Now they're hitting us right directly in our lives. This is another aside. So Jared Polis is forming a task force to get kids back in the
Blue
classroom.
Ribbon panel.
Well, Jared Polis, here's my free advice to you. You don't need a task force. You need to tell your draconian regulators at the health departments to get rid of their stupid rules and let kids go back to school. You don't need a task force. Call up 10 mothers and fathers, and we'll tell you how to do it. Just send them back to school and
I
get
know.
Rid of all those stupid rules.
Why don't you
rules.
Get some gay couples with not kids and put them on the task force, and they'll be sure to give you a good...
Or a bunch of teachers union people.
Yeah,
that'll be another
good one.
It's like, what a joke, you know? We're reading all your comms. This is another aside, but we're kind of jumping around. Where is Matthew Dolloff, by the way, and who paid for the bail? It was all over the media who paid for Rittenhouse's bail. You're absolutely right. I've been asking that for a while, and I've been researching it, have not been able to figure out. Matthew Dolloff is on $500,000 bond. He has a public defender, right? So you know that Matthew Dolloff did not put up $500,000.
Is he out on bail?
Yeah, he's out on bail. He's been out for a while now. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. So I don't know. Sandra, I'm working on that, and we'll see what we can find. Back to the hearings in Pennsylvania. I was seeing something else, though, too, Chuck. Some of the, some of the more liberal-oriented, I guess, some of the people on Twitter were talking about that they were surprised that there were they didn't believe it, but that there were these actual claims coming out. And they were suggesting that maybe the Biden camp should try to fight back rather than just saying it's not legit. My thinking on that is they're not going to. Joe Biden sat in his basement forever.
Yeah.
They're not going to.
He gave, and if you haven't seen it, you can just go on your lucky YouTube and watch the the Thanksgiving address by your quote-unquote president-elect, Joe Biden. It was pathetic. All you could think of watching, and if you just went down the comments, this senile, corrupt degenerate. Mm-hmm. And that's all you could think. He's going, well, valley, somewhere in the valley, all these troops were there, and it was wintertime, and they said, thank you. And, it's just disgusting. It's just disgusting.
You know, and I think, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. You talk to people or what's going to happen. Today I had a friend who I like, but she's a liberal. And she was saying to me, how soon, you know, how long do you think it's going to take for the economy to bounce
for
back?
For Joe Biden to bring back.
She said for the economy to bounce back into Joe Biden. I'm like, are you crazy? I said, she's a small business owner. I said, Joe Biden's going to destroy the economy. He's going to knock us back to the pre-Obama. You know, I mean, it's think about this. Under Obama, they were telling us this is as good as it gets. You know, it's going to be a magic wand.
Oh, yeah,
you know, your kids are never going to make more money than you. It took Donald Trump months, just a few months to turn that around and to have the greatest economy for the greatest number of people ever. It's not just, I told her, I said, here's what's going to happen under Biden. The economy is going to bounce back. If you're Jeff Bezos, if you're Google, if you're Jack Dorsey, if you're all of these big Mark
Zuckerbergs,
the rich are going to get richer. The poor are going to get more handouts. And those of us who are working are going to get screwed. I was like, are you crazy? You know, and maybe you agree with this policies, but it's kind of like the economy.
Does he have policies?
Well, all right. The policies of the puppet masters.
Of China?
Yeah. I mean, the economy is not going to bounce back.
Back when they allow millions to cross the border. It'll bounce back for you hiring the millions. Rest of us will get screwed.
Yeah, and Sandra's like, and Biden's bringing back John Kerry.
Oh, yeah,
that's a great idea. Well, he's bringing back the whole band.
And Obama's coming out more, you know. He said Rush Limbaugh caused people to think that white males were victims, which, of course, they are.
Yeah.
Under any system of woke government. But, you know, Obama, and he's just such a smarmy, sleazy. And I guess Kerry, I didn't realize this, has his own $11 million seafront mansion on Martha's Vineyard.
Powered by hamsters and a wheel and wind, solar power. You know, we were that too. We were flying because we went to couple weekends ago Georgia for a wedding.
You didn't obey the travel?
I did not obey. But I was seeing, we flew over, I don't know what part of the country it was, but there were like dozens, maybe not dozens, but a lot of those giant windmill things.
Doing nothing.
Which you could see, of course, from the air. And I'm thinking to myself, so wait a minute, what must that do to the ecology of an area, right? You've got these giant windmills that kill birds. You've already talked about shows like that. So it's like, give me a break. The Green New Deal is, again, it's all about redistributing the wealth to them from us.
Yes.
Okay. The guys are giving us the 3-minute warning. I want to thank Tom Tancredo.
I want to talk a little bit about Synergenics.
Okay.
And this is a time where right now I'm on the maintenance phase and I got to start my workout routine, which I've been delaying a little bit. Start lifting weights a lot. But if, you know, you're approaching the holidays. Maybe an idea, January 1st, you'd like to lose all that weight you gained and got some others. Well, one way of doing it, and I think a great way it worked for me, is Synergenics. They take your whole lifestyle in. They give you a whole plan. You will lose weight. You will get in better shape. You will feel better. It's an amazing process. And you'll look as good as you can.
You look great.
I don't look the same as I did in those early pictures of me.
Here's the phone number.
All right, 720-387-3681. 720-387-3681.
You know, and I just want to say this to everybody there on Zoom and everybody out there. I'm going to cry. I cannot tell you how thankful we are for all of you. This has been a challenging year for a lot of people in a lot of ways. And I cannot say a year ago, if you had told me a year ago that we would be sitting here today with all of you guys and, you know, I wouldn't have believed it. And I can't believe how wonderful our life is right now. And I want you all to know just what a huge part of it you are. And so of all the many things I'm thankful for, I just want you guys to know we are so thankful for all of you.
And I can't follow up on that because that's not my especial, but we do greatly appreciate each and every one of you.
All right. So thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful
Thanksgiving.
Take care.
Have a Thanksgiving. Invite everybody over.
We'll see you on Friday.